Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Once again, we're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21, and if you'd stand for the reading of the word. And we're continuing on in our series in Ephesians. And we started with a wise walk, and now we've been looking at being filled with the Spirit, and we talked about three things. We are going to talk about three things: the contrast that's there, and the command that's there. And now we're looking at what the command was last week. What does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit? And now this week we'll talk about how to experience that. And then next week we'll start talking about verses 19 through 21 and the context, the consequences, the results, the manifestations, which are also some of the means, in a sense, of being filled with the Spirit. But this is vital information. And again, I would admonish you and ask you to look at the other messages in this series if you want to get the full picture. But today will stand on its own as well, and I pray that the Lord use me and give us ears to hear like Jesus said. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And people were hearing him, weren't they? Everybody heard what he was saying. So he's describing something else, isn't he not? That's what I'm praying for you today and for me. I'm just a man. I'm just a jar of clay. I'm nobody, and I'm not saying that to brag or act false. I'm just not. It's God that I want you to hear. Using my weak voice or my strong voice or whatever my voice is. I don't know. I'm not worried about that. What I'm concerned with is that you hear God's word and that it penetrates your heart, that you hear and obey. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, Father. We know that this filling he's speaking of is a walk. It's an endeavor, not an event. But we also know that those that are walking that way sometimes are specially empowered to minister. And so taking this as my text, I ask that you would do that even with me now, that we might hear your voice and know that we were in your presence in a very present way today. This we pray for your glory. And in your name, Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Just going to get right to it. In your last message, we examine the meaning of this command to be continually filled. Be being filled. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And we learned that the gracious pressure of the Holy Spirit is like a wind filling the sails on a ship, moving us along. But we also learned that his influence permeates. Remember, we use these words: pressure, permeation, and control. His influence permeates how we think. Remember that we talked about like a drop of Alka-Seltzer and the whole glass is filled with that. Or someone gave me a better example and it's failing me right now. What was it, Lynn? I think you told me. Garlic, yeah. You eat garlic and it's oozing out of all your pores. It's permeating everything that you do. How we think, how we feel, how we see things, how we make choices. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we see that we're being filled with the Spirit, it becomes evident who is in control of our life. When someone is filled with rage, rage isn't the only thought that they have. What's filling? What's permeating? What's controlling? What's influencing that rage? When someone's filled with joy, right? What's happening? You know, you can't really step on their toes because they're Holy Ghost dancing. You know what I'm saying? When someone is filled with the Spirit, he's controlling their life. They're walking the God way. You're not having to tell them, go this way, not that way. They're deliciously, delightfully, loving, living for the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit leading, influencing, controlling our lives. That's the meaning of being filled with the Spirit. Now that we've examined the meaning of this command, we talked about last week and we're looking at this week, we ask the question, how do I experience this? Do we want that? I mean, we realize that you can't really obey any of the other commands of God unless this one's happening. But we said that it's not an event. It's an endeavor. It's something that you're walking along. Walking by the Spirit and being filled by or with the Spirit is the same thing. There's a Greek preposition there, en, E-N, and it means with, of, by, in. Don't have to choke on the hors d'oeuvres. We can understand. When these people were getting filled in a moment's notice, you could say, be saying they're filled by the Spirit. When these people are doing the Ephesians 5:18 sense and they're walking by the Spirit, it's sort of being filled with the Spirit, filled with spiritual things. You see a loved one you haven't seen in a while, and you're filled with love. It can be a momentary thing, but it's also an overall thing. Amen? I was speaking this morning, doing the announcements and all that, and little Dina comes running down the aisle. Did you see that? I'm like, Dina! She was filled with joy, and I was filled with love and appreciation, and I just filled my arms up with her, you know? Amen? So does God do these momentary fillings? Well, sure. Is that what we're seeing in Ephesians 5:18? Absolutely, 100% not. So I want to talk about some misunderstandings and help us really see what is it that we see in the book of Acts. How can we better understand it? Because when you better understand something, you can better experience something. Amen? When I understand a little bit more how to work my way through that seven gears, that Bugatti Veyron, I can, oh, anyway, it's a little hot sports car. I can run, you know, right? When you understand how something works, how something is, not just for the information's sake, not just for the inspiration's sake, but for the indwelling's sake. It's in you. You don't have to ask anybody else. You know. And when you know and understand what we're going to talk about here, it will help you to experience what we're talking about. Amen? I mean, someone would say, well, you sure you're filled with joy? You just got $1 billion, which I didn't, by the way. Well, if the most important thing in our life is the Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus Christ and God, the Trinity, alive and blowing up inside of us, then the most important thing in our spiritual lives to be doing is to keep on being filled with the Spirit. But if there's a misunderstanding of that, and we're chasing a rabbit in its tail and not really what the meat is, you know, we're you know what I'm saying? We're missing the main course here, then we're likely stunting our own growth. And this is what we see in various and huge swaths of Christendom today because of a misunderstanding about this teaching. And you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. All Christians are Pentecostal, all of them. Because what happened at Pentecost is the Spirit came down and he began to indwell human beings. And you see it in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Everyone is included. That was the point. But here's the thing. Even now that we have been baptized by one Spirit into one body, made to drink of the Spirit, even though we are trying to grow in grace and all that, we have to keep on being filled with the Spirit. This is a command, and we saw that. So how do we experience this? Now, as is often the case, it's going to be helpful to examine the question of experience in light of what it isn't and what this command isn't telling us to do. So let me say this. The command to be keep on being filled with the Spirit is not some disconnected, disjointed thought like Paul saying, make sure you keep being filled with the Spirit. And then we get to decide what that is. We see things in the book of Acts, and we just connect the dots, and we think, oh, this is what it is. It's this ecstatic experience, and he's saying to keep on doing that. No. This is a continuation of the context which started in chapter 4, verse 25. Remember, we read our text this morning from verse 17 through 19. That's who you used to be. Verse 20 through 24, that's who you are now. Verse 25 and following, therefore, do this. Being filled with the Spirit is that therefore do this. When you're doing the therefore do this, and you're doing this, that's being this, filled with the Spirit. All right? It's an important consideration. The context is king. I know men that know Greek and don't know God. I know men that know Hebrew and aren't holy. The context and the obedience, that's the point. Anybody hearing me? Anybody thinking, just get with it, dude? Okay, that's fine. But this is a summation of all that's gone on before. It's not an event, it's an endeavor. Let me say this, and I'll say it again. Now, this is going to blow your mind, or I'm trying to be smarty pants. It's not a metaphysical occasion. It's an ethical injunction. Ephesians 5:18 is not a metaphysical occasion. Boom, filled. But I see that. We're going to cover every single instance. All 14. Must be tidy because I keep talking. We're going to finish by Baptist time? Wait a minute. Okay. We'll see. So we see that. But is that what he's talking about? Let's cover all the ground. Amen? Isn't that going to be nice? Yes, it will. But it's not an event, it's an endeavor. Now, this misunderstanding of Paul's intended meaning with the phrase, be being filled, keep on being filled with the Spirit, has led to a misunderstanding about how it's experienced and what people are seeking. They're seeking an infilling of the Spirit as if it's something that happens in an instance. And they see it in the Bible and think, well, this is what I want. And people are seeking it, and Paul's not talking about a sudden and distinct infilling event. Now, the Bible's not commanding us to seek an instantaneous experience at all, at all. And so it certainly isn't commanding us to keep on seeking them. The command is to occupy our time by continuing in a right, responsible, repentant relationship with God. It's not a command to experience a distinct event. Everybody with me? Now see, this misunderstanding is why people develop these preparatory measures. Do this, this, and this, and then you'll be filled with the Spirit. As if it's an event. We're in a specific moment, we're suddenly filled to the full. And so people are taking this ethical injunction and trying to obtain a metaphysical experience, and then so they say, well, you got to do this, this, and this, and then God will fill you. And that's not the case at all. At all. Let me set you free today. You say, oh, and then if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved and all this. And we create people that are living in fear instead of living with faith. There is a command here. There is something to do here. But we're missing this. And sometimes our Reformed brothers are missing this. And sometimes our Pentecostal brothers, and I call them all brothers, are missing this. And I don't have all the answers. And I don't know where I'm right and where I'm wrong. But I guess what? I think I'm very right about this. I've been studying this for years and years and years and years and years. And I realize there's no biblical command to pray for an instantaneous event of Spirit fullness. You heard me pray before I even started. You heard me pray several times for it, didn't you? But there's no command. That's not what he's talking about here. I want to make sure and hammer this home several different ways to make sure that you get this. Because I want us leaving here knowing what this is and how to experience it and not just seeking a zap. Because that's not what he's commanding here. Now people would say, wait a minute, it's true. Acts 4:31, these same people that in Acts 2:4 were filled with the Holy Ghost, prayed, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost again, right? But the text doesn't say they asked to be filled. They prayed to be emboldened, and then they spoke. And you're going to see when we look at these instantaneous events, that's what always happened. God fills them, they become a witness. That's the point. And this isn't the point that Paul's making in Ephesians 5:18 anyway. This command is not a call to prayer. This command is a call to practice. Certainly, prayer is a vital component of living in the Spirit's fullness, of course. Ephesians 3:19, other places. Certainly, we may pray for a special empowering that we think is necessary for a specific task, of course. But being filled with this way that Paul's talking about in Ephesians 5:18 isn't the direct result of prayer alone. Certainly, we may and must pray for our spiritual lives to be lived to the full. But the best prayers have legs. You ever heard me say that before? The best prayers have legs. Just as faith without works is dead, so prayer without practice is paralyzed. Let me be filled with the Spirit. Let me be filled with the Spirit. Let me be filled with the Spirit. And you're still walking just like you used to do. And you can even get the zap and not even know what to do with it, if I could say it that way. Now, we've already seen that while the filling of the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 is something that we are to be continually involved in, it's not a momentary crisis. Not a momentary experience. It isn't a power encounter for a specific purpose. We'll look at those. It's an ongoing state characteristic of a lifestyle. Walking by the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are the same thing. Ephesians 5:16 through 25. Now, unfortunately, some hold to another incorrect position. Rightly, they would agree that all believers have been baptized by the Spirit. And they would agree that we're commanded to walk by the Spirit. And they would teach that we're to seek... Wait a minute, but they would teach that we're to seek in further infillings of the Spirit to help us towards that end. This is how you grow. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep having these events. This is how you walk by the Spirit. Keep having these events. This is how you do these things. You keep having to have these events. And so if you're not having those events, that means you're not growing. And if you are having these events, well, see, I got my jolt on Saturday. I went to this concert. I went to this place. I went to here and there and chasing everywhere because you're chasing that feeling. But it's the filling of the Spirit, not the feeling of the Spirit. It does mess with your feelings. We talked about that. Because love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you experience on the inside before they're manifest on the outside. They are feelings. So rightly, some teach that the filling of the Spirit is not a second blessing, as in a once-for-all event where they were entirely sanctified or they spoke in tongues. But they would insist that they should be seeking multiple fillings of the Spirit. They teach our spiritual life and growth is dependent on these multiple experiences of Spirit filling. They'll point to Acts 2:4, which describes the initial instance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then Acts 4:31, which describes some of the same people receiving another filling of the Spirit. And they say, this is the proof. We should seek multiple fillings of the Spirit. It's Bible, man. But that's the thing about Bible, man. It's got to be rightly interpreted in light of the context of the immediate context of the Scriptures, the context of the chapter, the context of the book, the context of which hemisphere, Old and New Testament, and God's sweep of revelation. And there's something happening in the book of Acts, and we're going to describe it. But this sort of teaching, that we must acquire multiple fillings, multiple instances of being filled with the Spirit, is a misunderstanding of the commanding to keep on being filled. They say that the fact that we're commanded to be filled implies that the Christian becomes low and that we always need refreshing and renewal. Therefore, to them, this command is speaking not only of a second blessing, but a third, a fourth, a fifth, and all that. They think they get away from this entire sanctification where only tongues people are saved and all this by saying, no, you get third, fourth, fifth, and all that. But they still have the wrong mindset of it's instead of, and I'm doing things with my hands that you wouldn't see online here when you listen to it. But instead of a walk, it's a whap. Get a whap. Get another whap. Get another. You're just not getting enough whap. You got to go to the church where you're always feeling the whap. Right? Now, I'm not mad, and I'm not saying God doesn't do the whap. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a walk. Keep on being filled. Not keep on having these experiences. Keep on experiencing God by keep on being obedient. Hey, there's some saved people here. Oh. Again, if we understand that the filling of Ephesians 5:18 is to be an endeavor in itself and not a singular event or multiple instances of singular events. Am I making myself clear? Am I drawing a good enough word picture? This eliminates the idea that we're continually supposed to be seeking it anyway. The Bible doesn't promote repeated experiences of instantaneous infillings as the means of spiritual growth, maturity, or sanctification. You're saying you are just putting a whole huge swath of the church under the bus, as it were. I didn't talk about salvation. I'm talking about growth and sanctification. And that's a false measure of growth. That's for specifically empowered, and you have a ministry experience, and God uses you. But you know what? God does that sometimes when you just sin and you did something stupid, and he reminds you who he is. Right, sister? Know what I'm saying? Remember a few years ago, you know, we're a little church, so I pick on people. It helps you be accountable. And when you hide, you're exposed. So, yeah, and me too. I'm open. Just because I'm in the pulpit don't mean I'm beyond it. Let me tell you right now. You see me doing something stupid, you just tell me. That didn't look right. I didn't like that. But sometimes we just did something we know was wrong and we willfully did it. And yet here comes the ministry opportunity to witness to somebody. And what happens? The devil says, you ain't worthy. Look what you were just doing. And God's trying to say, look, I'm using the jar of clay. This will prove to you that it's about my power, not you. So does God do those things? Of course he does. It was Heather, dear, you remember. But is he saying always be seeking these moments where we're going to be? Is that what he's talking about here? No. Ephesians 5:18 is not about an infilling. It's about the infilling. In other words, not about an instance of infilling, but about the state of being filled. And the state of being filled is not acquired by repeated filling events. The filling is not metaphysical occasion. It is an ethical injunction to continue obeying the imperatives that he laid out from chapter 4, verse 25 and following. He's saying, this is what you do. When you're doing this, you're being filled with the Spirit. Don't go backwards. Don't stand still. Move forward. Be filled. Change your life. The Holy Spirit is working with you to do that. And when you're not doing that, you are grieving him. You're either being filled with the Spirit or you're grieving the Spirit. That's the opposite. Again, spiritual growth is not the accumulation of these metaphysical events, real as they may be. I mean, I pray that God would use me right now. Did I not? I believe what I see in the book of Acts still happens today. Fine. But is that what he's telling us to seek in Ephesians 5:18? No way. But I've had it 500 of them, and you only had 300 of them, so I'm more spiritual. No, the person that's obeying more is more spiritual. Hello? They're the ones being filled with the Spirit. The other person's grieving the Spirit. Okay, so you, woo, and you had 500 people get saved, and woo, then you go sleep with someone else's wife. You ain't being filled with the Spirit. I mean, who are the people going to be that get up there and he said, God, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he goes, give me the toys back, flush. People that had these experiences, but they were never on the endeavor. They had events and feelings. He talks about in Hebrews 6, they tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the life to come, yet they didn't swallow. It wasn't real. God can use a donkey and God can use me, yes. But God can use people that are in the pulpit, they're not even saved. And he might even empower them. He said, Cyrus, my Mashiach, my anointed one. Right? Judas, raise people from the dead. Think about it. Is it a walk that he's calling us to? Yes. It's a walk that he's calling us to. Not an event. As real as they may be. Now, in the book of Luke and Acts, we do see instances where people are filled with the Spirit in a sudden, singular experience. These events describe a special influx of power for a specific purpose. And yes, indeed, these passages are emphasizing an event, not a state of being or a condition. Even so, this isn't what Paul is commanding us to seek in Ephesians 5:18. In the sense of Ephesians 5:18, being filled with the Spirit is not an occurrence, it's an occupation. Do you hear me? It's not an occurrence, it's an occupation. It's not an instance to seek, it's a process to sustain. So, let us now look. Besides Ephesians 5:18, there are 13 other passages where the terms filled with the Spirit or full of the Spirit are used. Let's look at them all. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And I'm going to go fast, but you'll have these in your notes, and you can listen online again or get a CD copy. This is talking about John the Baptist. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. Notice the same thing as Ephesians 5:18 there. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Later on in that chapter, verse 41, it says, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. You remember John the Baptist, who was already filled? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then look what it says. And then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, for blessed is the fruit of your womb. And let's see her husband, verse 67. Chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up and on and on. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'm going to describe you the Greek words here in a minute, but let's just go through all the texts, okay? So we have John the Baptist, his mother Elizabeth, his father Zacharias, and Jesus being filled or full of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we go over to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4, the famous one, of course. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what have we seen so far already? Except John the Baptist was in his mom's womb when people were filled with this instantaneous type of filling. And we're going to show this. They spoke. Acts 4, verse 8. Are you with me? Everybody with me? Say amen. 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 It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, example, example, example. And here we go in Acts 4:31, which we've mentioned a couple times already. And when they had prayed, these same people, the place which they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, how about chapter 6? Let's look at verses 3 through 5. So therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Were they looking for people that were having, I don't mean to be rude, an epileptic seizure? These men were full. There was something about their life. They were being controlled by the Holy Spirit. People knew who they were. They were men of standing because of what was going on in their lives. These men were full of the Holy Spirit. And then you know what it says here. Full of Spirit and of wisdom. And they were the first deacons, as it were. One of these was Stephen, chapter 7, verse 55. And you know, Stephen challenged the Jews, and they got up to stone him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed in heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now let's look at Paul, Acts 9, verse 17. We're going through all of them here, and then we're going to talk about them. It says, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me to you, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Chapter 11, verse 24. Chapter 11, verse 24. This is Barnabas. It says, "Barnabas was a Jew, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." All right, chapter 13. This is Paul. This is one of them instant fillings, I can tell you that. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. It says, "But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness,'" and so on. And now look at chapter 13, verse 52. Chapter 13 and verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Now, Luke 1:41, Luke 1:67, Acts 2:4, Acts 4:8, Acts 4:31, Acts 13:9 are these places where we see this instantaneous infilling. All right? And the word "filled" comes from the Greek word pimplemi, pimplemi. And it's in the aorist tense. Aorist tense means a singular event. It denotes a point in time. They were filled in a moment. And if I could get all fancy, they were aorist pimplemi, right? Again, it means, it does indicate a singular event. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Yes, and those are an aorist tense. It means not present, not past, not future. It's a single moment in time. They were filled. But they were filled for something. Examining the passage, we see that these special events, the filling was for a special purpose. And the filling lasted as long as it took to accomplish the task. Otherwise, why were the people in 2:4 filled again in 4:31? They were in Jerusalem doing all this, then they were under persecution and wanted to preach the word again, and they were filled again. Amen? That's why we see another filling of the same person. It isn't that they sinned away the fullness. It's that they need to be empowered for another task. You're praying for somebody, you're praying for the healing, "Lord, empower me, look, make my hands healing hands," whatever, and something happens, and then, you know, it's a few days later, and you say it again, okay. We don't have to go into all that. I mean, we can talk about that some other time, but the point is you do see these instances, and it's this Greek word, pimplemi, all right? And it's in the aorist tense. It means a singular event. So we do see those things, and I gave you those there. But now the other descriptions of being filled with Stephen in Acts 6, 3 through 5, of Barnabas, Acts 11, 24, and what we finished here with the joy, the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. They use a form of the Greek word pleirao, pleirao. And that's in the present tense, which indicates a state of being, not an event. Now there is some overlap of the words. There is some overlap of their related forms in Luke 1:15, Acts 4:1, Acts 7:55, Acts 9:17, but as always, the context dictates what's going on. Are you hearing me? Can anybody hear me? You say, "Well, how can I make sense of all this?" That's what we're doing. That's what we're about to do. The main difference between the words that Luke, by the way, Luke wrote Luke and Acts, so he knew what he was doing. This is not just somebody using a different word because they like the word. Luke is being very careful here. The main difference between the words used in Luke, who was Paul's traveling companion, for what we might call this special filling, and what we might call the normal filling, okay, is that the special filling, this pimplemi, indicates the action of the filling has occurred, while the normal filling, pleirao, indicates a state of fullness has been achieved. I'm not trying to be fancy with it. I'm just trying to show you. Luke used different words to describe different things. Such is the case with Ephesians 5:18. The word used is a form of plerao. And the present tense is not about seeking multiple infillings, but about continuing to be filled. Paul's saying, again, don't go backwards. Don't just stand still. Keep moving forward. The plerao passages that we see, the plerao passages we see in Ephesians 5:18 refer to exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. They're full of joy in the Spirit. They're men full of the Holy Ghost. That type of thing. A life that's under the lordship of Christ. That's what he's asking you to do. I command you, keep seeking the things of the Spirit. Don't be grieving the Spirit. Therefore, do these things. Don't do these things. Don't be filled with wine. That's debauchery. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's life. The Pimplemi passages refer to a distinct filling which provides the person with an influx to serve as God's witness. Does it happen? Of course it does. Is that what he's asking us to seek in Ephesians 5:15? Of course he isn't. So, what are we seeing here in the book of Acts? The full picture. Anybody want to know? You ready? Putting it all together. The full picture in Acts involves certain Christians described as being filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense of a continuing condition. The disciples were continuing with the Word of God. They were continuing with the apostle. They were continuing breaking bread. They were continuing house to house. They were continuing putting their stuff together. They were continuing being filled with the Spirit. While other such individuals, who were also among those who were continuing to being filled, they had distinct experiences of being intermittently empowered by him for ministry. See, Peter was one of those ones that was continually being filled, and yet certain times came when he's had to step up and God empowered him. Paul was out on his missionary journeys, and he was being continually filled by the Spirit. He's commanding others, walk in this thing, and then when the power needed to hit, it came. Ephesians 5:18 is about the former, the continuing endeavor, not the latter, the momentary experience. Still, the truth is that those in the continuing condition may have a distinct experience of the Spirit's infilling power, yes. But this is not what the Bible is commanding us to be seeking after in Ephesians 5:18 or elsewhere. Believers, though indwelt by the Spirit, are in a sense spiritually empty and in effect apart from his continued activity in their lives. Anybody knows that? Anybody, you know, you even hear it when you're just starting out, if I could say it that way. You know, you're in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, and things like that, and it's very confusing. The remedy to this emptiness, the remedy to this lack, the remedy to this lack of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is to be continually filled by the Spirit. And that doesn't mean continually having these events. It means remaining under the Spirit's control. And that doesn't mean turn left at the light. Pick up this. Talk to that person. Does God can do those? Sure. But I want to say this to you. People say, oh, I hear God speak to me. You don't even know 10 verses of your Bible. How do you know what his voice sounds like? A Spirit-filled life is a Word-filled life. Not just for information's sake. Not just for inspiration's sake. But to change your life. How much of it knows you? You know what I'm saying? The problem with Christians is not getting more of the Spirit getting more of them. That's the issue. Are you with me? Yes. Special needs may arise, and they may indeed be met with an infilling of the Spirit's present power. And believers may indeed receive an answer in prayer to be specially empowered. But that's unlikely in the normal sense of being filled isn't being happening. You know what I'm saying? Did I say that right? It's unlikely if the normal sense of being filled isn't being met. And again, it's not what Paul's talking about here at all. Ephesians 5:18 is primarily an ethical injunction to believers to live an obedient life under the lordship of Christ through the influence of the Spirit. This is accomplished by being obedient to the Word. Neither this passage nor any other passage in the Bible carries a command for believers to seek a distinct Pentecost-like filling of the Spirit. As is the case with intoxication, spiritual fullness involves surrendering one's control. You've heard me say that before. The things that stop you because he says, take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. He says, do it daily. Luke 9:23. Deny yourself. You don't want to do it. Take up your cross. There's pain involved. Follow me. You're not in control. But when you're doing those things and you're abandoning control to God, and you're presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, and your mind is being renewed, and you're keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, and when things come to you and you say, I don't want to do that, and you say, but I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it, and there's some pain involved, but then you work through that, and God works through you, and then you are following Him, and you're not in control, that is when you're being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Paul's not commanding believers to seek a distinct aorist, you know, filling of the Spirit along the lines of Acts 2, 4, Acts 4, 8, 31, 13, 9. He's not seeking that. He's not telling you to seek that. Ephesians 5, 18, again, is an ethical exhortation to believers that they should continually live under the influence of the Spirit. You can't do it unless He's helping you do it anyway. But you don't just say, well, I didn't get zapped, so, you know, okay, I'm not going to obey. You see, that's what we live. We live wrong lives like that. We're waiting for the zap and then we'll obey. No, we obey, then sometimes we get zapped. Of course it happens. I'm no fool. I've been a Christian for 40 years and I ran away from God for a lot of years and I sure wasn't getting zapped then, maybe sometimes. But God zapped me enough to lose all my money and lose my reputation and lose everything, but then he got me right back and I've got a wife and kids and grandkids and a church and lovely people and I'm full of the Spirit of God. Amen. You know why I know I'm the full of the Spirit of God? Because I'm full of the Word of God, and I want to do it. And I see things like this, and I think, you know, but I thought all this way all these years. I'm not going to worry about what those experiences were. I'm not going to interpret the Bible by my experience. I'm going to interpret my experience by the Bible. So he was doing something there. I don't have to categorize it. I'm not worried about it. All I know is now is I want to walk by the Spirit. And when I'm doing that, then if he needs me to be empowered to be able to witness to somebody, it will happen. Yes, you can pray for it. But when you're holding back, it's like you're asking God, God, help me with this in your left hand and right, your right hand's behind your back. He's like, oh, would you please get that out? But no, God, help me with this. I can't help you with it until you do that. I won't help you with this until you do that. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, all that now, how do we experience it? All that in one paragraph. I got everything written on one paragraph. Well, let's state it in negative and positive terms. We hinder the experience when we grieve the Holy Spirit through sin. We read it this morning, Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? And you've heard me say it this way. If the most important thing inside of you is the most important thing in the universe, the one that created the universe, the one that's making Jesus real to you, the one that has sealed you with his breath, the one that is your stamp and your down payment, the Holy Spirit of God, if that's the most important thing about you and you're going against the most important thing, that's what the problem is. Again, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Happy wife, happy life. And if my wife says, if you could just do the dishes at this time, if you could just do this, and I stubbornly, and, you know, just, How many times have I been in counseling, and the wife will say this, or the husband will say this, and I'm like, she's giving it to you on a silver platter, you idiot. He's saying, if you do this, I'll be happy. Do this, and if she's not happy, then we'll get on her. But it's not like that anyway, because, you know, well, I'm not going to get into marriage counseling right now. But the fact is, you got to be counseling yourself, and when you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, if me and my wife are arguing like crazy before we get to church, it's going to spill out. You're angry at work and all that, you got to be careful because it's going to come spilling out. You've been alone with God. It's going to come spilling out. Again, so we hinder it by grieving the Holy Spirit with sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. No one knows that I'm masturbating to pornography every night. I know. You know. God knows. We know. Because you're not being filled. You're acting like an idiot still. I've told people this many times. You want to stop speeding, stop smoking. But I'm just going to leave that. Obedience builds on itself. Disobedience builds on itself. Don't be drunk because that leads you into debauchery. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. So how do we hinder the filling of the Spirit? Holding that secret sin, holding that sin. And when we quench the Spirit through unbelief, don't put out the Spirit's fire. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And in context, that's talking about preaching. That's talking about preaching. Say, oh, this doesn't matter to me. I don't know this. You just don't know. But, you know, I read this, and then this person said this, that, and he's trying to chase the word away. the worries of the world and all these things choke the word out. Your unbelief. You say, this isn't for me. Yes, it is. It may not be for you today. Well, this one is. But it might be for somebody else. You hinder the work of the Spirit through your unbelief. God's not going to use me. I'm 15 years old. God's not going to use me. I'm 95 years old. God's not going to use me. I have a bad reputation. God's not going to use me. I'm just new to this town. God's not going to use me. I don't know these people. God's going to use me. Everybody does know these people. Or whatever else it may be. Maybe he uses you because you talk to that other person and they talk to your relatives. I don't know. But we quench him through unbelief. Positively, when we avoid those hindrances of grieving him through sin and quenching him through unbelief, when we employ the exhortations that Paul's been giving from chapter 4, verse 25, get the messages online, read the scriptures. When we seek the things of God, it's then that we are experiencing the infilling of the Spirit in the Ephesians 5:18 sense. So let me just finish by saying, let's keep on being filled. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, you are most gracious and kind. And too often we want to be a cookie jar and you're trying to make us a coffee pot. And we know that that's not being filled with the Spirit. That's being filled with the self. And then you kind of smash us down and we think, I don't get away without anything. And yet, we're so grateful. Because that means you love us. Where are those areas, Lord, in our lives? Let us all pray this. That we are grieving you through sin. That we are quenching you through unbelief. That we are not walking according to the way that we ought to walk. We're looking at others and say, I'm doing better than them, or I'm doing better than I used to, or you can't tell me what to do, and all these things. And we're grieving and quenching the Spirit work in our life, and other people need us to be filled. Because the context is singing to one another, thanking for one another, submitting to one another, and these things are not happening if we're not in the company of other people, and they're not happening if we're not being filled with the Spirit. So fill us, Lord. Even now, give us a taste that we would take that and walk in that. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.